message. A message from God. This is probably the greatest message. What you're going to hear this morning is the gospel of God. This is the most important thing that anyone in the universe could hear. You need to listen to this message. And I hope and pray, along with all the other serving ones, that you would hear this wonderful message, you would receive this wonderful message, and that you too would become an ambassador of God, and you too would go tell your friends and your family this wonderful message that we will hear this morning.
Amen.
Well, let's come to outline 2, message 2. It's on page 11. It's on page 11. I hope all of you sixth graders this morning have with you a pen or a pencil. It is very good as we go through the outline, as we go through the message. If you hear something and it touches you, circle it on your outline. If you hear something and you enjoy it, write down a little note about what you enjoyed. This is very helpful for later on when you try to remember. Now, what was it in that meeting that I really enjoyed? What was it that really touched my heart? Then you go look and you can see your notes. Ah, that was it. I remember now. That was it. Also, we're going to give you an opportunity at the end of this meeting and also later on today where you can stand up to speak about something that you enjoyed or something that touched your heart. And whenever we have the opportunity to speak, it's always so helpful to have some notes for us to refer to. And we can stand up and we can speak what we enjoy because it's written right there. We don't have to try to remember too much because we have it in our notes. So I hope all of you have a pen. If you don't have a pen, ask your serving one for their pen. You all should have a pen. You will need it in this meeting this morning. Okay, let's read the title together of message 2. Ready? Where are you? Dead in sins. Okay, let's have the girls read it.
Where are you?
Dead in sin. Let's have the boys read it.
Where are you?
Dead in sins. Remember, the Bible is a book of truth. The Bible tells us before we receive the Lord as our Savior, we are dead in sins. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Ready? We are all sinners. That's right. We, that includes you and me. We, no one excluded. Even you sitting up there in the back row, you're not excluded. You sitting back there. How about you boys in the last row back here? You, there, there. You're not excluded. You're not excluded. We are all sinners. We are all sinners. What is it to be a sinner? To be a sinner is someone who would violate, who would go beyond what God has commanded. This is a sinner. It's to violate a command. It's to go beyond what God has commanded us that we could do. Also, to be a sinner is to fall short. To fall short. To not make the standard. To come up short. That is what it is to be a sinner. Sixth graders, we are all sinners. We have all fallen short. We have all violated. We have all gone against what God has said we could do. Let's read Romans 3:10-12 together. Even as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks out God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not so much as one. This is the truth. There is none righteous. Righteous here means to be right before God. according to his standard of righteousness. To be right according to God's standard. There is no one who is righteous. Then it goes on to say, there is none who does good, not so much as one. Let's read Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is the truth. For all have sinned. All of us have sinned. We all have done things that we should not have done. We have all crossed the line. We have all stepped over the boundary that God drew. We all have sinned. And because we have sinned, we fall short of the glory of God. When God made us, he made us that we would be holy as he is holy. He made us that we would be righteous. And he made us that we would express his glory. But because we have all sinned, we fall short of God's glory. We have violated God's holiness, and we are not righteous before God. The Bible is true. We all have sinned. Amen. There's not one person in this room that has never sinned. Let's read Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. This is a very good verse. Who can say? No one can say that they have made their heart clean. No one can say, I am pure from my sin. Not only are we sinners, not only have we done the things that we should not do, but we have no way to undo the wrong we have done. We have no way to undo it. We have no way to erase it. There is no such thing as two rights make a wrong. Is that how they say it? Two wrongs. There's no such thing as if you do something wrong, if you go and do two good things, you make up for the one thing you did wrong. There's no such thing. No one can say, I have made my heart clean. No one can say, I am pure from my sins. Let's read Proverbs 30:11-12. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet are not washed from their filthiness. Oh, this is serious. There is a generation. That's referring to you, sixth graders. There is a generation. What do? They curse their father. And they do not bless their mother. What is the fifth commandment? Is that right? The fifth commandment? Or the fourth commandment? Fifth. What is the fifth commandment? Okay, stand up and say it loud. Honor your father and mother. This is God's commandment. The boundary is, as a child, you must always honor your father and mother. Always honor them. Always give them the utmost respect. Especially when you don't agree with them. Especially when you don't like when they've asked you to do something. Or when they've told you to stop doing something. At that time, you have to honor your father and mother. But what does your generation do? Instead of honoring your father and mother, your generation would curse your father and not bless your mother. That means, as your mother or father are speaking to you, as they've asked you to do something, in your heart, you would say something bad about them. You may even in your heart be saying, "Oh, why don't you just shut up? Why don't you stop telling me to do that?" Instead of saying, "Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Mother, for helping me in that matter," in your heart you would curse them. In your heart, instead of blessing them — blessing means to speak well of — instead of speaking well of them, in your heart you would speak something negative about them. And maybe, not only in your heart, but also out of your mouth, you would say something. Most likely not there in front of their face, but as you turn away and you're walking away from them, under your breath, "What do you know? What do you know? You don't know nothing." This is what your generation does. This is what you have done. This is against what God has commanded. God has commanded, honor your father, honor your mother. So it's very clear, we are all sinners. What I'd like us to do now is, you'll see on the next page, there is a little questionnaire we're going to go through together. After passing through this, we will realize that we are all sinners. This morning, are you looking for it? It is on page 15. Okay? You must have a pen. I ask you, as we go through this, you would be sober and you would be honest. To be sober means don't make a joke of it. You know, one way people hide from things, they hide by joking. They hide from the seriousness of it by turning it into a joke. This morning, no joking. No turning this into a joke. You go through this with me. You be honest. You record your answer. You do not look at the person on your left or right. You look only at your piece of paper. You look only at your answers. We're going to go through this the first time. I'm going to go through it quickly. I'm just going to read the point, and you're going to put your answer: guilty or not guilty. Okay, who needs a pencil? We have some pencils. Raise your hand if you need a pencil. Okay? We go through it. You be honest. You record your answer. You do not have the option to say neutral, or "I don't know." It's either guilty or not guilty. Okay, at the top it says, "Please circle one. Boy, girl, serving brother, serving sister." Do not write your name on this piece of paper. Do not write your name, but go ahead and circle at the top there which one applies to you. Are you a sixth grade boy? Are you a sixth grade girl? Are you a serving brother or a serving sister? Okay, let's go through this quickly and record your answers. One, "I love other things more than the Lord." Guilty, not guilty. Two, "I have used the Lord's name wrongly." Guilty, not guilty. Don't say anything. Keep quiet. Record your answer. Three, "I have not honored my mother or father. I talked back to my mother or father. I wouldn't do what my mother or father asked me to do. I said something bad about my mother or father. I wish that I had other parents. I disobeyed my parents." Guilty or not guilty? 4. I was jealous of my brother or sister or my friend. I wish that I had other brothers or sisters. Guilty or not guilty? 5. I got angry and lost my temper. 6. I had a fight with someone, either verbal or physical. 7. I stole something from someone. I took something from my mother or father without asking. I took something from my brother or sister without asking. I took something from a store and didn't pay for it. Guilty or not guilty? 8. I borrowed something from someone and didn't return it. 9. I found something which belonged to someone else and I kept it. I found money which wasn't mine and I kept it. 10. I cheated on a test. 11. I lied to someone about something. I lied to my parents, to my teacher. I said something about someone that was not true. 12. I wish that I had something that someone else had. Okay. Did you record your answers? Okay. I think I already know. I don't want to know. But we're all guilty. But let's go through this one more time. And I'll explain a few of these points. Okay? And some of you may need to revise your answer. And it's okay. I'll give you a second chance. You can change your answer. Are you ready? I need you to listen. Question one. Well, point one. I love other things more than the Lord. This is related to the Lord's commandment that we should love the Lord. And we should have no other loves beside Him. The Lord should be the best, should be the first. Okay? Now, maybe some of you felt, well, of course, I love the Lord more than anything. How about these situations? Have you ever, Lord's Day morning, when it's time to go to the meeting, when it's time to go to children's meeting, you have thought or you have said, I don't want to go. At that point, you're loving something else other than the Lord. Have you ever had a friend invite you somewhere Lord's Day morning? And your parents have said no, because that is the Lord's Day, and the Lord's Day morning is the time for us to remember the Lord. We go to the meetings. And as they have told you no, you have gone, oh. Oh, I wish I could be in this other place with my friends. At that point, you're loving something more than the Lord. How about at home when your parents say, let's read the Bible together. And you respond, oh, Mom, oh, Dad, I don't want to read the Bible. I'm too busy. Or I want to read this other book instead. Well, are you guilty or not guilty? How about a home meeting? How about when it's time for the saints to come to your house and the parents tell you, clean up, we're having a home meeting tonight. And you're like, why do we have to have a home meeting? And why does it have to be in our home? Well, at that point, you're not loving the Lord. Because those who love the Lord love God's people and love the meetings. Love the meetings more than anything else. Okay, 2. Let's go to 2. I have used the Lord's name wrongly. Oh, I tell you, last night we saw something wonderful, that we can seek the Lord while He can be found. We can call on Him while He is near. This is so wonderful. The Lord gave us His name. God gave us His name for us to call on. Amen. His name is wonderful. But there are people today who use the Lord's name wrongly. They blaspheme the Lord's name. They use the Lord's name vainly. They use the Lord's name as a curse. If they hit their thumb with a hammer, they will say the Lord's name. But they're not calling out to Him. They're saying His name in the way of cursing. They don't say, "Oh, George Washington," or "Oh, Abraham Lincoln." But they use the Lord's name in the wrong way. Some people have a bad habit. They like to say a lot of times, "Oh my God, oh my God." But they're not saying it in the way of calling out to God. They're not going, "Oh my God, I need you." They just say it in a vain way, in a loose way, in a wrong way. "Oh my God, oh my God." That is to use the Lord's name in vain. And the Lord told us, "Do not use my name in vain." Or maybe you say, "I don't say, oh my God." But you know what? Some people try to get around that by having a loophole. And instead of saying, "Oh my God," they go, "Oh my gosh." Well, we all know what you're saying. We all know you just chose to change God into gosh. But really what you're trying to say is, "Oh my God." It's the same as if you said it. Another one that you may use and not even know is the word "geez." Geez. Because many use the Lord's name, Jesus' name, as a curse. They'll say "Jesus" in the wrong way. Well, some have shortened that. And instead of saying "Jesus," they go, "Oh, geez. Did you know that's the source? Oh, geez." Well, many of us may have used the Lord's name in vain. We may have used the Lord's name in a wrong way. Whether you knew it was wrong or not, you're still guilty. Okay, 3. I have not honored my mother or father. I think I already spoke about this. I think all of us are guilty. Even I believe some of you, Friday, before you came up to the mountain tree, argued with your mother or father. Did you know arguing, talking back, challenging what your mother or father said, that is not honoring your mother or father. 4, how about being jealous? Have you been jealous of your brother or sister? Have you been jealous thinking that your mom or dad treats them better than the way they treat you? "Oh, that brother, they're so lucky. Mom and dad always let them have what they want. Always let them get what they want. But for me, I never get it." That's being jealous. Getting angry, losing our temper, having a fight. Having a fight could be verbal, could be physical. How about stealing? Oh, stealing. What did the Lord say? "Thou shalt not steal." To steal is to take something. It's to take anything that is not yours. Even if you see something, maybe at school, someone left a nice pencil or a nice pen in the wherever you eat lunch, or out in the school playground, and you see it. "Ah, wow, look at that pen or pencil. It's here all by itself. Oh, it needs an owner. Oh, finders keepers, losers weepers." The law of the jungle, right? We have our own law, the law of the jungle. Well, you lost it, too bad. I found it, I keep it. But according to God's standard of righteousness, if you take something, anything that is not yours, you stole. Are you guilty or not guilty? Borrowed something, didn't return it. found something which belonged to someone and I kept it. It's that pen. What about money on the ground? If you take it and it wasn't yours, you stole it. I cheated on a test. Oh, I cheated on a test. How about this? I just looked at my friend's paper, but I already knew the answer. You cheated. If you looked, the rules of taking a test is you cannot look at someone else's test. If you look, you cheated. No matter what you think, no matter if you try to convince yourself, I already knew that answer. You looked, you cheated. I lied to someone. Oh, I lied. How about the lies you have told that nobody found out? That's still a lie. Whether you get caught or not, it's still a lie. I wish I had something that someone else had. Oh, Lord. I don't think any of us are not guilty on this. What happens when a kid comes to school and they've got the latest electronic, well, you probably can't take those to school, right? But he comes to school, or she comes to school and tells you, guess what I got last night? I got an iPad. Ooh. And in your heart, you're like, I want an iPad. And then maybe you go further. Oh, you're so lucky. I wish I had your parents. Because my parents are poor. They can't afford an iPad. But oh, if I only had your parents, then I too could have an iPad. That is being jealous, and that is coveting. Well, let me ask you, is there anyone in this room who is not guilty? There is not one. Not one of us in this room. Even me. If you could see my answers, what would you see? Guilty. You would see guilty. Well, let's go on and let's see what the Bible says about ones who are guilty. You know, if you go to court, there's a trial. And during the trial, evidence is presented. Well, sixth graders, we just presented the evidence. And after the evidence is presented, there is a verdict. And the verdict is real simple. It's either guilty or not guilty. And the verdict this morning, what is the verdict? Let's deliver the verdict together. The verdict is we are guilty. That's right. So at the end of the trial, a representative from the jury stands up. They ask him or her, please tell us the verdict. And the verdict is read, guilty. But that is not the end. Then, after the verdict is reached, then there is a judgment based on the verdict. And we have to now look into what the Word says related to the judgment for this verdict that we are all guilty, that we are sinners. So let's read Roman numeral 2 together. All sinners will be judged by God. That's right. All sinners will be judged by God. I asked you not to look at the person beside you, their paper. I hope you were faithful not to do that. One danger is if you looked and on your paper you were only guilty for 5 of the points, which means you're still guilty. And the danger is if you look at someone else and you see they had all 12 that they were guilty, you might think, aha, at least I'm not as bad as them. They're in much worse trouble than me. But that is not the truth. The truth is, all sinners will be judged by God. Whether you commit one sin or whether you commit many sins, the verdict is the same, guilty, and the judgment is the same. Let's read Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever thing the law says, to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may fall under the judgment of God. Let's read Ezekiel 18:4b. The soul who sins, he shall die. Then let's read Revelation 21:8b. Their part will be in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I'm going to read A to you. Those who have not believed will be judged and will suffer eternal punishment in the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. I have to tell you the truth. I too am a sinner. I too am under the same judgment as you are. The judgment for a sinner is that you must die. You must die. And this death is not referring to the first death that everyone will face. That means physically, one day we will all die. But it's referring to what the Bible calls the second death, where one day we all will stand before God's throne. We all will be judged. And all of those that the verdict is you are a sinner will face what is called the second death. The second death is a place called the lake of fire. And in this place, you will be separated from God for eternity. Those who were created by God to contain God, to have God's eternal life, and who have became sinners, their judgment, instead of having God as eternal life, the judgment is to be separated from God in a place called the lake of fire. This is the judgment. This is the destination for all who have sinned. And we have to realize that if we are a sinner, we are under the same judgment. What are we to do? There is nothing that we can do. There is nothing that we can do to undo the sins that we have done. There is nothing that we can do to make up for the wrong that we have done. What can we do? We can do nothing. But praise the Lord. Amen. Today, the gospel message does not end here. Right now, we need to go on for what the Bible tells us is the good news. Amen. So you need to wake up. You need to pay attention. Don't end this message at judgment. Don't end it with the destiny of the lake of fire. You need to listen to the good news. You need to hear what God has done.
Amen.
God has done something so wonderful.
Amen.
You know, God is righteous and God is love. But for the matter of our sin, it's not just sufficient for God to love us. God also has to take care of His righteousness. Let me give you an illustration. If I was a judge in a law court, and I also am a father, which I am, and one day my son, whom I love, broke the law, he killed somebody, he's brought into my law court, there is a trial, the evidence is presented, the verdict is announced, guilty, I, as a judge, at that point in time, I am bound by righteousness. Even though I love my son, even though my love for my son does not cease, at that point, I am bound by righteousness. I must do what's right. For me to say, this is my son, I love him, I will just let him go, is unrighteous. The same with God. Yes, he loves us, but our God is a righteous judge. He is bound by his righteousness. And even though he loves you, yes, he loves you, but if you, being a sinner, will not receive his salvation, then he is bound by his righteousness to carry out his judgment on you as he would carry out on all sinners. So our God is love and he is righteous. But also he is wise.
Amen.
Oh, so now I'm going to tell you about this wise God and how he was able to prepare for you a way of salvation that would satisfy his righteous demand. That would satisfy his righteous requirement.
Amen.
Let me ask you, what is the righteous requirement for someone who sins? What is it? Death. That they would die. That's right. The only way for someone to be released is if someone else is to die in their place. That is the only way. Let me tell you a true story. This took place during the Civil War, the American Civil War. There were two brothers. One lived in the North, one lived in the South. Both were drafted into the Army. They served in different armies. As we know, the North eventually won the war. The brother serving in the Southern Army, he was taken captive and he was being held in a place where his older brother, who was in the Northern Army, was stationed, was placed. And the younger brother, who was in the Southern Army, he had been sentenced to die, to be executed by firing squad. His older brother, who was in the Northern Army, found out that one of the prisoners was his brother. And he knew that the next day his younger brother would die. And this older brother loved his younger brother. And he wanted his younger brother to live. And he knew there was no way that he could save him. There's no way that he would be able to go and unlock the door, unlock the chains on him, and release him. So what this older brother did is he came. Why don't you stand up? He came to his younger brother at night. He said, "Brother, take off your uniform. Put my uniform on." And then he put on his younger brother's uniform. He put on the uniform of the rebels. He put on the uniform of one who was condemned, of one who was judged. And he said, "Brother, I love you. Go. Go. Take my place. Go." And then he took his brother's place. The next morning, he was taken out with the other rebels, with the other convicted and condemned soldiers. He was lined up and he was executed. He died in place for his brother. He died for his brother. Later on, the soldiers found out what had happened. They had heard what took place. And some of them said, "Let's go find that brother and get him and bring him back and execute him." But those in command said, "No. According to the law, a person cannot die twice for his crime. Cannot be punished twice for his crime. Someone has already borne that punishment. Someone has already died for that person. That other brother must go free." Well, this is a true story. Now I want to tell you a true story, an even greater story than that. We are like that southern brother. We are rebels. We are sinners. We are condemned to die. But God, because of His great love towards us, could not leave us to die. Thank you. One day, God became a man. That man's name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, who was God, who became a man like us, He lived a perfect, sinless life. He lived a life that was without sin. Without sin. He was not condemned. He was not a rebel. He was not under judgment. And He took your place. He took your place. He took my place. And He allowed Himself to be put on the cross. And there on the cross, He died for you and me. Another true story is that there was a family that lived in the U.S. years ago. They lived on the East Coast. They heard about gold being found on the West Coast. So the father went by himself to the West Coast to see if he could find gold. And he told his wife, "If I find gold, I will send the word. When you get the word, come." One day, the wife got a telegram. It just said, "Gold, come." She knew her husband found gold. She got on a boat with her son, and they began to sail to San Francisco. They didn't have airplanes. There wasn't a train to take. There wasn't the Panama Canal. They had to sail down past the tip of South America. Very dangerous passage. One day, they were on the boat. The mother heard a lot of commotion, a lot of noise on the boat. She thought pirates were attacking the ship. So she took her son and locked themselves into a room and waited in there. Then she heard it getting quieter, and then she began to smell smoke. And she realized, wait, the ship is on fire. She got her son, ran out of the room. She came up to the deck. When she got to the deck, she had seen that the other passengers had already got into the lifeboats. And the rule is, women and children go first. But because she had hidden in the room, she had not got in the lifeboats with the women and children. There was one lifeboat left for the crew. The crew were already in the lifeboat. When she came up, the crew said, "We have room for one. We can only take one." Right there, a decision had to be made. Both couldn't die. Neither could both live. One had to die so that the other could live. The son could die so that the mother could live. Or the mother could die so that the son could live. The mother took a note, wrote a note with the father's name and address, gave it to the sailors, and said, "Deliver my son to his father." Then she looked at the son and said, "Son, when you meet your father, you tell him that I died today so that you could see your father's face. Tell him that." Well, the reason why I tell this story is that God loves us. God became a man. He lived a perfect, sinless life. Jesus did not have to die. We had to die. Why don't you stand up again? Just like that story with the mother and the son, the Lord had a choice. Jesus had a choice. He could have lived. he could have lived and never faced God's judgment. But if he lived, we would have died. So he made a decision. On this day, he chose to go to the cross and to die there for you, so that you could live, and so that you could see God, so that you could meet God. You know, the Bible tells us that a name for God is Father. God is our real Father. The Lord Jesus, he chose to die in your place so that you could meet God your Father.
Amen.
You would not have to meet God as your judge, but you could meet him as your Father. Thank you. Let's keep reading. Let's read A together. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's read John 1:29. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This verse tells us that the Lord was the Lamb of God. He was the one who was going to die in our place, to shed his blood. To shed his blood means to lay down his life. And by doing that, he could take away the sin of the world. He could take away God's judgment on all our sins, on everything we did wrong. That word sin there means the totality. It means the sum total. It means every sin that everybody has done that was put on him. He did no wrong. But there on the cross, God put all the things that you did wrong, that he did, that we did wrong, on him. He took our place. He put on our uniform, the uniform of a rebel, the uniform of one who is condemned. And he took the judgment for us. Let's read B together. He bore all our sins in his body on the cross when he suffered and died for us. Okay, how about you read Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. Go. His stripes, we have been healed. We all are like sheep, stray. Each of us have turned his own way, and Jehovah has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Sixth graders, he was wounded because of our transgressions. Our transgressions means our sins, means all the things we did wrong. He did nothing wrong. He shouldn't have been wounded. He shouldn't have been nailed to the cross. He shouldn't have had his side pierced. He shouldn't have had to die for us. But he took our place. He was wounded because of our transgressions. One illustration that is helpful is that when they took the Lord, they nailed him. Nailed him. They drove nails through his hands and through his feet to nail him to the cross. Those nails represent your sins. Your sins. Not the bad people only on this earth, but everyone's sins. Those nails represent your sins. They were your sins that caused him to be pierced. But as he was pierced with those nails, what began to cover those nails? His blood. His blood. His blood is the price that had to be paid for our sins to be forgiven. So today, when God looks at someone who has believed in Jesus Christ, who has believed in him as their Savior, when God looks at you, God sees the blood.
Amen.
He doesn't see the nails. He doesn't see the sins anymore, but he sees the blood.
Amen.
He sees that the price has been paid.
Amen.
Okay, let's read 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore up our sins in his body on the tree, by whose bruise you were healed. See, he shed his precious blood to take away all our sins. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Knowing that it was not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, that you were redeemed from your vain manner of life, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, of Christ. We have been redeemed. That means the price has been paid. What was the price? The Lord's blood. That means the Lord's life. He paid the price. D, through Christ's redemption, we are forgiven.
Amen.
And cleansed.
Amen.
By God. 1 John 1:7b, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from every sin. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses, according to the riches of his grace. Oh, this is wonderful. When we sin, it's not wonderful that we sin. When we sin, there is a record. First of all, there is a record before God. He has a record of every sin.
Right.
And then there's a record, a mark on our conscience.
Right.
We know. And there is something today that can wash away the stain.
Amen.
That can wash away the record.
Amen.
That is the blood.
Amen.
Oh, it's so good. Then we believe in the Lord. The record gets washed away. Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 4. We must, A, admit. Oh, how do we receive this salvation? How do we receive this good news? How do we receive the forgiveness of sins? First of all, don't hide. Admit. Admit. We are guilty. Lord Jesus, I'm guilty. And repent. Turning away from your sins and turning to God.
Amen.
Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy.
Amen.
Let's read from the but whoever again, boldly.
But whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy.
Acts 13:19. Repent therefore and turn, that your sins may be wiped away. B. Believe Jesus is the Savior from sin. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Was this deleted? Sorry. He who believes into him is not condemned, but he who believes has been condemned already, because he has not believed into the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Okay.
Sixth grade boys, John 10:10. I have come. Is that deleted too?
Yes.
Okay. How about John 3:36? He? No. Okay, I'll read it to you. He who believes into the Son has eternal life, but he who disobeys the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Okay, let's read C together.
Confess our sins to the Lord.
Let's read the verse together. 1 John 1:8 and 9. If we say that we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves,
and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Good, then let's read Roman numeral 5. That's right. On our side, we must admit, repent, believe, confess. On God's side, he will forgive. He will justify. That means he will approve of you according to his standard of righteousness. and our sins will be wiped away. Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he who wipes away your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Isn't this awesome? When we believe in the redemption, when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, when His blood is applied to our sins, God forgives. And when He forgives, He forgets. Hallelujah! But He only can forget those sins where the blood has been applied. Okay, Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgression from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God takes away our sins. Micah 7:19. And you will cast into the depths of the sea all our sins. Hallelujah! Isn't this an awesome message? Yes. Isn't this the best news ever?
Amen.
Oh, this is wonderful. But we need to end in the proper way. If you had a terminal illness in which you were told there is no way you could cure yourself, but one day I came to you and I said, I have discovered the cure. I have it right here. All you have to do is take this one pill, one time, and you will be cured. You will be healed. What do you have to do? You have to take it. It's here. It's available. It works. It heals. It saves. But you still have to believe it and receive it. With this matter of salvation, God has prepared it. It is here right now. It is available to you right now. Your mother and father received it. Maybe your older brothers and sisters have received it. That is wonderful. But nobody can receive it for you. Only you can receive God's salvation for you. And right now, we're going to ask you to receive this salvation.
Amen.
I'd like you all now to bow your heads. I'd like you to close your eyes, because I don't want anyone to be distracted. I'm going to talk to you and only you. Don't worry about the person on your left or the person on your right. Don't worry about your friend. Close your eyes and put your head down. All of you now. Okay, don't look at me. All you need to do is hear my words. If any of you right now would like to receive this salvation, if you have never received the Lord as your Savior to have your sins forgiven, or if you're not sure if you've done this already, then we would ask you, stand up. Stand up now. Don't wait. Stand up. That's right. Stand up. Receive this wonderful salvation. Also, if there are some of you in this room that keep your head down, keep your eyes closed, if there are some in this room that you have already prayed to receive the Lord as your Savior with your mother or father, this is wonderful. It's once for all. When we pray, when we confess and we repent, we are saved. But this morning, as you were listening, maybe there was something that was touching your heart, that's convicting you concerning some sins that you have done, and maybe you would like to have some help. How do you clear this up? How do you take care of this feeling on your conscience, this feeling of guilt? We also ask you too, if you would like help, how to be cleansed from this, how to take care of this feeling. You too, stand up. So go ahead, don't wait. Stand up now. Now is the time. Now is the time to receive this salvation, to receive the forgiveness of sins. Very good. This is a very good response. Now we're going to ask the serving ones. They're going to come and take you one at a time. to go outside, to help you have a time to pray to the Lord that you would receive salvation. So I'd like to ask the serving ones, for those of you standing, stay standing. Do not sit down until the serving one comes and gets you. The rest of you who are seated, stay seated. Unless you change your mind, and you too, it's not too late to stand. Brother Peter is going to help us. We're going to sing a song while those are going outside to pray to receive this wonderful salvation. Very good. Okay, Peter.
Let's sing 1007. It quietly. This is not the time for any conversations. Hymn number 1007. If we could have a piano and guitars. Number 1007. Let's read the first verse of 1007 all together. Let's read verse 1 of hymn 1007. Are you ready? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? 1007. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in this grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I think so. We'll sing 08. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. We should sing it.
We are washed.
We are washed.
Yeah, right. Good. Amen. In the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Spotless are they, white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin of the Lamb. Thin flowing were the soul unclean. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Let's sing this hymn again. There still is opportunity for you to stand up and receive the Lord if you have not yet. Or again, if you would like to make it clear, I'm not so sure if I have yet, but today I want a clear stance. There's still opportunity for you to be washed. Or if there's something, as was said, on your conscience, something that you said to somebody, some behavior that needs to be cleansed, this song is for us. This is a question for all of us to answer individually. Let's sing this hymn again. Amen. Have you been? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Garments for the light this hour. Washed in the blood. Are you washed?
Are you
Are you washed in the blood, in the soul of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Of the Lamb, are you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? They are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Okay. That are stained with sin. Blood of the Lamb. Every soul unclean. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Amen. Okay, let's sing verses 1 and 4 again. This is still our opportunity. We don't know the answer to this question. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You know the answer to this. Maybe you've been fighting it all year. You've been hearing so much speaking about your need for the Lord. Listen, today is the opportunity to respond. Amen. Respond by answering this question. Are you washed? If there's a doubt, if you are not washed, this is the time to stand up. Let's sing verses 1 and 4 again. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His voices, sir? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you those garments that are stained with sin, washed in the blood of the Lamb? Sin flowing for the soul unclean, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Garments very white as snow of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of... What should we do? Should we sing again? A song? Keep singing? Okay. Okay, let's sing number 1048. 1048. Just as I am. That's how we come. Praise the Lord. 1048. Huh? Just as I am. New old tune. Okay, here we go. Verse 1. We're singing number 1048 for those of you who are coming in. Just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God. I come, just as I am, woe tossed about. Conflict, many a doubt, tidings within and fears without, O Lamb of God. I come, just as I am, poor wretched blind. Sight, riches, healing of the mind, this all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God. I come, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God. I come, as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Then I'll be O Lamb of God. I appreciated so much this morning that our eyes were turned from ourself to the Lord Jesus. Amen. To what He accomplished on the cross. So this morning, if there's any thought in you, I can't come because I'm not good enough, or I'm not right, take your eyes off of yourself and come as you are. Fightings within and fears without, this is still your opportunity. We want everyone here this weekend to have a contact with the Lord. Amen. Definite, personal, specific transaction with Him. Amen. This morning is the time. This is the day for us all to come. Let's sing this again. Just as you are.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that the blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come, just as I'm waiting not, and waiting not to rid my soul
No need to wait anymore.
He whose blood cleanses each part, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, though tossed about.
Many a conflict, many a doubt.
Flick many a doubt, fightings within and fears without. O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, thou wretched blind. Side riches healing of the mind, little I need in thee to find. Of God, I come, just as I am. Wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve.
Should we stop here? Should we stop here? We still have some seats open.
I come. I am love unknown. Every barrier down.
I knew of a high schooler one time who believed in the Lord, but he only believed in the Lord, accepted him, after first he denied him many times. And it was that constant being asked to believe in the Lord and his constant refusal, his repeated hardness. That repeated hardness eventually became too much for him to bear, and he had to eventually surrender. Every time we are presented with the opportunity to receive the Lord, we can either receive him or reject him. And hearing what we heard this morning, there is no reason to reject him. If we have a habit of not responding, just because we've never responded before, this morning is the time to break that habit. Your parents can't do this for you. Nobody can. This is your choice. Will you come? It's up to you. Will you receive? It's up to you. Will we stop the fighting and stop the rejecting? This morning, again, it's up to you. Our hope, our prayer has been, Lord, this weekend, everyone would come. Amen. Every single serving one. Every single sixth grader. Amen. Good or bad. Whatever their case, this weekend would come. Amen. How about let's sing this hymn one more time. Sisters one, brothers two. This is for all of us who have not yet come. This morning. Let's all leave here having come to the Lord. Amen. Put away the hardness. Amen. Put away the refusal. Amen. This is the time. Amen. This hymn is being sung for you to give you another opportunity to respond. Amen? Amen. We don't know who you are. We don't even know if there's anybody out there like this. But just in case,
We would like to keep the door open wide this morning for you to finally respond.
Amen?
Amen? While we're singing this, if you have a sense, enough is enough. This morning, I'm going to come. This morning, I'm going to respond. Let your serving one know, I'd like to come to the Lord this morning.
Amen.
I'd like to come. Let's go out and pray with me.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
That would be so wonderful for the Lord to finally win these battles.
Amen.
He won't win you by force. He's appeared to you in love. Let His beauty constrain you, and let His love defeat you.
Amen.
Our Savior is waiting for us all to come. Okay, sisters, verse 1. Yeah, without one plea, but that Thy has shed for me. Just as I am, brothers too, when waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Sisters 3. Though tossed many a conflict, amen, even many a doubt, there may be fightings within and fears without. Even so, O Lamb of God, brothers, just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight riches healing of the mind, did all I need in Thee to find. Okay, all the sixth graders, standing, verse 5.
So we'll take a break until 11:25.
Okay.
And then if you can let them know that then when they come back, just to prepare something.
Prepare something. Okay.
Just show something.
Okay. In cleanse, relief. Miss, I believe. Amen. How about everyone, verse 6? Everyone, verse 6. As I am, Thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Yet to be Thine, yea, Thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, yea, to be Thine, yea, Thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I am so happy that there was such a response this morning.
seem like many of you, whether for the first time or for the first solid time, stood up to say, I want definitely to begin my Christian life. I want a clear start. I want to receive the precious Lord Jesus, to have a life full of meaning, to have my glove filled with the hand. Praise the Lord. Okay, now what we will do is we will have a time from now until 11:25. You can prepare something to speak. At 11:25, we will come back and have some time for you to overflow. You can speak from last night's meeting. You can speak from this morning's meeting. You can speak your experience of what just happened to you. We would love to hear, and we would be encouraged by all of this, or any of this. What we would like to ask you to do is to maybe even write out something you would like to say. Okay? So you've got from right now, you've got about 12 minutes. This is not free time. This is prophecy preparation time. Amen? Amen. You can stay here in this room. You can go outside. Don't go far. You can use the restroom if you need to use the restroom. Let me say that again. You can use the restroom if you need to use the restroom. And we'll meet back here at 11:25. If you hear the singing, that means you're late. Come back. What should they do?